Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN.
I love this song. I'm so happy that this is our song. Yeah.
That's our beginning. In the studio, I work on my headphones here. We have Joseph Lewis.
Yes,
the producer of Lights, Camera, and Awesome.
Yes, that's who I am. And I have an extra special guest here as well, a producer on the show. Her name is...
Asura.
That's right. She's 9 years old, and she joins us here late at night on a Saturday in downtown Chicago for an exciting adventure. There's some amazing headphone shenanigans going on across the room.
Tell us what Lights, Camera, Awesome is.
It's the only show in the history of the universe produced entirely by kids. It plays on CanTV, Channel 19, and you can see it Saturdays this month in the evenings and Saturdays next month in the morning, and you're just going to keep seeing it forever. And it's produced entirely by kids through the media arts curriculum courses that I run all around the town in all sorts of shapes and sizes. And you know what? I remember the first time I met you.
Yeah, talk about that. We went on a puppet field trip.
We went on a puppet field trip. I met you at the Sun-Times building, and we hopped in your car, and we drove to Indiana. We stopped at, I believe, either a Culver's or a Steak and Shake. It was one of those two. And I was wearing my leather jacket, and you were very impressive. I remember that about you. And we got there, and...
Well, we went to see Ralph.
We went to see Ralph Kipnis, master marionette maker, and we were at that time trying to rally a campaign to have him reunited with his life's work, his collection of hand-carved wooden marionettes.
Yeah, and I don't want to, I want to talk about you guys, but he had a collection of like 3,000.
It was crazy. Yeah, the biggest one we could really find anywhere.
And then that was, he was the National Marionette Company of Chicago.
Yes, he had the last little storefront marionette company in the area.
And that was about 2013, so I haven't talked to you then. What happened to the marionettes and Ralph?
The marionettes remain, it's still a mystery. You know,
really?
the landlord who was holding them, he and I had a falling out. And I haven't spoken with him since. And the last I heard from Ralph was he was enrolling in a community college course in social media marketing.
Really? Ralph was?
Yes, he was. So he's as tenacious as ever. And God bless him.
So then, what have you been doing? You're doing a lot of
things. Oh, my goodness, Dave. I'm Captain Famous now.
Yes.
I'm Captain Famous now.
So what does that mean? What does
that means if you say something and keep saying it, eventually it will be true, which is really at the heart of the way I teach media to kids and how I try and conceptualize it, at least in my own brain, when I'm there in the classroom and in front of them.
And you've been designing youth media curriculum at the Chicago Filmmakers since 2012.
Yes, yes. I just kind of paratrooped in there one summer. They had a teacher drop out, and then through a crazy turn of chance, I heard from a board member that they needed a teacher, and I heard what they needed me to teach, and I said, you know what? I'm the perfect guy for that job. And I walked in and I talked to Brenda and I said, hey, I'm the perfect guy for this job. And she said, prove it. And that's been 5 years now that she's
been
letting me do it.
And what makes you the perfect guy for that job?
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, it started for me in children I was touring around the country doing some neo-vaudeville educational musical theater that was all about teaching children how to write stories.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, I fused my love of media and media production and began making media with and for kids. And then eventually, due to the developments of technology, I was suddenly able to be teaching media production in the way that I wanted to, which was fast and furious. And that's how we do it at the Bluebird Academy, which is what I call my traveling circus of media arts curricula.
And what's Azul? Is he a good teacher?
Yeah, I don't know.
Closer to the mic. Say that closer to the mic, just like you said it.
I don't know.
Yeah, there we go.
Now, you're 9 years old.
Yeah.
And you're a producer?
Yes.
What do you do? I mean, what are your tasks? What are your chores when you get in a class?
Chores? Dave, could you make that sound less enticing? Goodness. Goodness, you are jaded, my friend.
Yeah, I am.
Man, yeah. Man, what spell do you read out of the magic book of creation that enables you to manifest something from your mind into reality? Yeah. She likes music. Talk about music.
Yeah, talk about music.
Well, we don't really use music. We use music from iMovie.
And songs, right?
Yeah.
Well, who picks the music?
We do.
That's what it's all about, really. The picking of the music. To tie the right song to the... Do it, Dan. Do it while you speak. I can do it. Tying the right music to the right moment, you know, to create that indelible impression.
And you take this all over. I mean, you work with kids in all different spectrum. I mean, like you have, you make movies with at-risk youth inside the Cook County Detention Center. What's that like?
Well, it is radically different than doing the programs at Chicago Filmmakers.
Sure,
I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
When I go into a place like Cook County Jail, it's about professional development. It's about trying to prepare the young men for reentry and trying to empower them with tools that enable them to achieve their wildest dreams, which is the same as with any of the people, any of the students that I work with. But they're obviously... They've got significant challenges.
And what's some of the subject matter that you address with them?
Well, we want to talk a lot about things that they can relate to, obviously.
Yeah.
So, you know, economic depression, trauma, losing loved ones, injustice, social injustice, oppression, domestic violence. Those are the kind of topics we want to hit with them because those are the things they have a lot to say about.
And where does the product end up?
Well, sometimes it ends up in a place that no one can ever see it, which is kind of the interesting thing about doing movie projects in environments with at-risk youth, is sometimes you're making something that's really for them and just the people in their lives, the people that they invite to the one screening.
Really?
And then, yeah, you know, these are kids, you know, and some of them are saying things that are very personal and revealing things about themselves that they don't want anyone anywhere to be able to know whenever they want. And that makes it unique, and it makes it especially unique in contrast to modern society now, where everyone just feels like they should have access to all information all the time.
That's interesting. That's an interesting juxtaposition.
Yes.
Why do you do that?
Because I believe media production is about, is like a community arts endeavor. It can generate material that is important to everyone involved. It can improve communities. It can improve the people's lives, you know, the people who make it. I believe it's a perfect model for an educational curriculum for the future that's project-based and really led by the interests of the people who are working on the product.
It's just interesting, that story you just told. I mean, you could be working on something and it may not just get out. It may not get out to anybody.
You may be legally ordered by the government to destroy it, which is now a bucket list item I can check off of my list.
Yeah. So how do you gain the trust of subjects in an environment like that?
Listen.
Yeah.
And just don't judge, which are two things that I've always been really good at, thank God, and have gotten me inside of a lot of rooms that, you know, not a lot of people get to go in.
Yeah.
I'm sure you know a lot about that. I mean, you know how to get into those rooms, too.
Yeah.
Been into a few of them, I'm sure.
So you have empathy for your subjects?
Well, I mean, yes. I we're all one. One. You know, I'm one with my students. I'm one with the guys in the jail. I'm at one with you. You know, we're one. And what that really has to mean, if we want to truly believe it, is that there's no difference between us except you're over there and I'm over here. And if I'd been you from the beginning, I'd be just like you. And if you had been me from the beginning, you'd be just like me. And that's how I relate to people, and I think they can tell that.
The times we're living in. Have you seen the Mr. Rogers documentary?
Not yet.
People are talking about how well it's doing at the box office. There was just a great New York Times piece by David Brooks a couple of days ago. I mean, because things are just so cynical. And they said, he implied in this piece that there's a trend now of, like, nice documentaries and just these things are going to, because things are so dark around every other corner.
Sincerity is an important currency.
And I've known you. I mean, that's part of your thing, isn't it?
I think that's part of every teacher's thing, is you have to be sincere in your intent from the beginning, and you have to know where you want to take the kids from the beginning. That's what good teachers do, is they know where they're taking everyone from the start. And you can only do that if you have a lot of respect for who you're working with and who you're in the room with, and you're willing to really earnestly listen.
You were born in Peoria.
Oh, man, yeah. Born in Peoria, then moved to Kansas, and then North Carolina, then upstate New York, and then college in Boston, and then here.
Then here. When did you move to Chicago?
2005.
2005?
Yeah, yeah. So I've lived here now longer than anywhere else, so...
And you've always had a powerful imagination?
Oh, goodness. Well, I mean, I like to think so. But I also think it's something that can be developed over time. You know, I'm an avid believer in that the imagination is something that continues to expand and develop and evolve as we get older. You know, Azul and I were just talking on the way over here about how excited I am about getting older all the time and how being young isn't all it's cracked up to be, weren't we?
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
See what I got to deal with?
Yes, just
yeah. Yeah. It doesn't get any better in the classroom, I tell you. See?
Yeah, what do you do? What do you do when kids get shy and
oh, my goodness. I let them do what they want to do, which is what you should do with kids, you know? You know, specifically with Azul, because she's my daughter.
Yeah.
And I've known her a long time. The thing I was excited about when she finally agreed to come to one of my classes was... It's an environment where I can just tell her, yes, go further. I know, because I know what school's like and I know what home is like, that she's got to spend most of her time every day having to make herself smaller and having people say, no, be quiet and get in line and do this, do that. And that's not fair to her. So I'm excited now that she's been a part to give her that freedom.
Azul, how you doing?
Pretty good.
How many other people are in the classes you take, roughly?
Well, there are six other students.
And are they all the age group, like you, 9, 10, about like that?
10 to 13. Yeah, 10 to 13.
Is it fun?
Yeah, it's really fun.
It's fun? Mm-hmm. It's important to have fun.
Yes.
There's no chores, no hard work.
No.
Right? Yeah, and it's funny, too, because when we were talking about this, too, I make them work really hard for me.
Uh-huh.
I'm really hard on all my students. I had teachers growing up that were really hard on me, and they were the most effective, I thought. You know, they really held the bar high, and I do that for them. So I'm always curious, you know, am I pushing too hard? And Asul said, no, it's fun, and you don't feel like it's really work because it's the work you want to do.
Okay, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back, and I want to tell the listeners how they can find your work.
Okay.
Okay, so don't go away on Nocturnal Journal with Captain Famous.
And Azul.
And Azul on WGX. Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGM with Captain Famous.
Glad to be back.
Joseph Lewis, our friend, and your daughter, producer, Azul. Thanks for joining us, Azul.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. So we played a little bit. You were a vaudeville clown? What part of your life
My first job as a performer was as a touring musical clown that would go to schools and entertain and teach story writing. And so it was my first job as a clown and as a teacher. And so those two roles fused in me forever. And that's pretty much how I still am, right? Clown wizard, actually, is how I describe it now.
What attributes of a clown goes into teaching?
Oh, my goodness.
Theater, obviously.
But yes, well... teaching really feels like a performance to me because it deals with captivation. And when you're in the theater, it's how to captivate an audience. And when you're a teacher, it's how to captivate students. It's really the exact same thing. And I could feel I could feel it happening in that first job when I was touring around the country doing that work. I could feel the connection building between me and them in a way I'd never really had it happen in just a theatrical environment. But then suddenly when I had the additional responsibility of being a teacher, I could tell that there was something transformative happening due to the space and the circumstances.
And when did you start the clown stuff?
2005. Right when I got to Chicago, I was finishing post-production on my second feature film. And then just as I was finishing that, it seemed like I should probably get a job. And luckily enough, I got a full-time performing job. I think it was one of my first auditions. It was amazing. Way back when.
The reason I asked that, are clowns still popular,
actually,
some people think clowns can be creepy.
They are really creepy.
Yeah. See, you're
Chicago has an amazing community of underground theater and circus artists.
They do.
Yeah, they do. And there's a thriving clown and movement theater community here in Chicago that I've definitely pulled from for productions in the past. And I have a lot of good friends who actually do very well here in town doing that kind of theater still. And it's still relevant. I mean, a good clown captivates everyone around them.
Creepy.
Do you like clowns?
No.
No. Well, she's...
But
she's
here
not,
we are with blue hair, so there you go.
You both have... Yeah.
Right? Yeah, we dolled up tonight. We dolled
it's
up for you,
cool.
Dave. Yeah, it's cool.
So you,
it's Azul.
You maintain this innocence in everything you do, and you go into some dark places in your work. I mean, some of these documentaries and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it makes me violently ill sometimes. You know, Azul's been there when I've gotten home from some of these... experiences in, you know, Cook County or juvenile detention center or the, you know, foster homes, transitional living facilities for homeless kids, homeless shelters. You know, I've been in all those places to make movies with those kids. And when I come home, I mean, do I seem different to you?
Yeah, you seem like you just have to go to bed.
That's exactly
like how
right.
I am after this show.
Yeah. You know, especially this one documentary we did with a group from this place called The Harbor.
Right.
And
a transitional living facility for homeless teens.
Yeah, exactly.
I watched some of that this afternoon, yeah.
We did, you know, what we do is the program is a professional development program where we actually produce a film festival with the participants. So they watch a slate of some of the best international short films on topics that are thematically related to their lives, pre-selected to be so, and then we facilitate these incredible discussions about the films, and it becomes a therapeutic experience, it becomes a development experience for them, and then by the end of it, they choose a slate of films to present at a public film festival that they present, and as part of that festival, they also present a short piece that they themselves have produced with me.
Wow.
And so for this one we did with The Harbor, their theme was it can happen to anyone. That was what the message they wanted to get across to the whole world is everyone thinks something about being homeless. Like these are the kind of people who become homeless. These are those who are homeless. Everyone has a judgment about us already, and it can happen to anyone. And the story of each of the girls proves it.
There was that one woman who talked about how she was sleeping under a car. And she was always worried about the car moving. Yeah.
And there are horror stories about their experiences in the system. You know, you're hearing from people who choose to be homeless because the alternative was too terrible.
Uh-huh.
And people don't consider that. They think, you know, who would choose to be homeless? There are people who have lives that are so awful to them that they choose to be homeless.
You're really on a mission with this stuff.
I just felt, like I told you, compelled to believe that through media production, lots of things can happen. And I learned that by being a media producer and making movies. And then that, combined with teaching, became something more to me. And I see it in front of the camera. I see it behind the camera. media is perfect as a model for the future of education.
Now, how can people see your work? How can they get in touch with you?
At MediaXOX on Twitter. And I produce Lights, Camera, Awesome, which is a compilation of a lot of the work that Chicago youth produce with me, or not with me, but produce it themselves. And you can find that on YouTube. Look up Lights, Camera, Awesome, you know.
In the minute or so that we have left, when you say the kids produce it themselves, so what is their responsibility? Are they holding, doing camera work?
Well, we heard
they're picking music.
Yeah, they pick the music. Yeah. I mean, what else did you have to do? Tell me, Asul.
Well, we have to, do a scene breakdown, a shot list, and we film it, and we edit, and then if we need to reshoot anything, we go to reshoot.
Wow, you edit and stuff? Yeah, you edit too? Really? Yeah, on like kind of a laptop and stuff?
On a computer.
Computer, yeah. You're not union, are you?
Not yet. If I had my druthers, there'd be a child union, absolutely. I believe kids should produce content for other kids.
Yeah,
I think it's preposterous that adults produce content for kids. Since starting a family and becoming part of Azul's family, I mean, we watch children's content all the time, and it just blows my mind the kind of stuff that adults produce for kids when kids are perfectly capable of creating their own content for themselves.
Okay, well, we got a break for the news.
All right.
Thank you guys for coming in. Do you want to hang around and hear some music, or do you have to get going?
I would love to hang out and hear some music, and also do check out the International Children's Media Center. That's where you can see all that work with at-risk youth and how people can get in touch with that, because that's very important. Thank you.